It was nearly time to make good on Abu Sufyan's parting shot after Uhud, next year at Badr. But Muhammad was playing a very dangerous game. He had to make a show of strength, but his troops were so dispirited that he could not risk another pitched battle. Nevertheless, during the week of Badr's annual Sukk, he rode there with 1,500 men. Fortunately for the Prophet, Abu Sufyan did not appear. He hadn't expected the Muslims to keep the appointment and had set out with his army as a mere show, planning to turn back as soon as he heard that Muhammad had failed to leave Medina. It was a year of severe drought, and there wasn't a blade of grass to feed the camels during the journey. So, with only a few days' supplies packed, Abu Sufyan had to lead his men home. He was bitterly reproached by the Meccans, because the Bedouin were full of admiration for the Muslims' courage. In Medina, Muhammad's position was still weak. But in the peninsula as a whole, the tide was beginning to turn in his favour. Whenever he heard that a Bedouin tribe had joined the Meccan Confederacy, he would lead a Ghazu to capture its flocks and herds, even if it meant a trek of 500 miles to the Syrian border. In June 626, he learned that some clans of the Bedouin tribe of Ghatafan were planning a raid against Medina. So he set out to repel the expedition. When the Muslims came face to face with the enemy at Dat al-Rika, he once again avoided a direct confrontation. But for 3 days the Muslims remained face to face with the enemy. Both Tabari and Ibn Ishaq make it clear that the Muslim troops were terrified. But so, it seems, were the Ghatafan. In this atmosphere of terror, the Prophet received a revelation that instituted the prayer of fear, an abridged form of the usual prostrations adapted for a military emergency. Instead of making themselves vulnerable to the enemy by praying en masse at the appointed times, Muslims should pray in relays with their arms at the ready. In the end, the battle simply fizzled out before it began. Ghatafan withdrew, and Muhammad could return to Medina, having achieved a symbolic victory. The prayer of fear showed how beleaguered and defensive the new religion had become. It was in this context that we must see the Quran's apparent retreat from gender equality. In January 626, his new wife Zainab had died, just 8 months after their wedding. Not long afterwards, he approached Hind bint Abi Umayyah, the widow of his cousin Abu Salama, who had died after Uhud, leaving her with 4 children. Hind, or Salama, as she was usually known, was 29 years old. Beautiful, sophisticated, and extremely intelligent, she would provide the Prophet with the kind of companionship he had enjoyed with Khadija. She was also the sister of a leading member of Makhzum, one of the most powerful Meccan clans. At first, she was reluctant to marry Muhammad. She had loved her husband very much, she explained. She was no longer young, had a jealous disposition, and was not sure that she could adapt to life in the harem. Muhammad smiled. He had a smile of great sweetness, which almost everybody found disarming, and assured her that in his late 50s he was even older than she, and that God would cure her jealousy.